church that I really enjoy. It goes, I am the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. Yes, we are the church. Each and every one of us is a living stone that's part of God's church. Or we could say that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Or that we're part of his body. The author of this wonderful book is the Apostle Paul. And the key word is church. The theme is the essential character of the church. And the key text is Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body. This book was written from Rome to the Ephesian church while Paul was in prison. This is considered Paul's first prison epistle. Paul did not mention many people by name in this wonderful book because, first of all, he knew so many people in Ephesus. He couldn't list them all or the book would be three times as long. And secondly, Paul wanted this letter in particular to be distributed to all the churches, including ours today. Now, Paul had three contacts with the church in Ephesus. First of all, Paul spent a short time in Ephesus at the end of his second missionary journey. Secondly, Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus during his third missionary journey. During the stay, he baptized 12 disciples of John the Baptist and did a great number of miracles, including the healing of many people. In fact, handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched, when they were taken to the sick were healed. Wow, can you imagine that? At the end of his stay, there was a great uproar because Demetrius and the other idol makers were losing so much business. So many people were becoming Christians that sales were plummeting. Their little stock market was falling apart. So what did they do? They started a riot. Imagine, here's a man that God used to heal many, many people. Probably some of the idol makers' relatives included. And what do? They chase him out of town. Isn't that the way, though? Sometimes the people that help us the most are the ones we give the least credit to. And finally, three, on Paul's return to Jerusalem from his third missionary journey, he gave a moving farewell address to the Ephesians at the coastal town of Miletus. Now, my chapter outline for Ephesians is this. Chapter 1, God's grace and love. Chapter 2, God's gift, eternal life. Chapter 3, God's church. Chapter 4, God's blessings, his riches to us. And with our finite minds, we can't even imagine the wonderful blessings that God has for us, his riches to us. We've only just begun to see his blessings. Chapter 5, God's way to live. And chapter 6, God's spiritual armor. And you know, every Christian needs to put on the armor of God. This includes the girdle of truth. And you might say, well, what is truth, Pastor Doug? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is truth, and the Word of God is truth. This we can depend upon. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. This protects us from the fiery darts of the devil. Three, shoes of readiness to share the gospel. We all need to share the message of God's great love. Four, the shield of faith. We can trust God in the good times and in the bad times. God is going to take care of us. He is going to bless us. The helmet of salvation. We all need to know Jesus as our personal Savior and bring our thoughts under his control. Six, the sword of the word, which is the Bible, God's love letter to us. And imagine if someone sent you a love letter, what would you do? I'd tell you what I would do if my wife sent me a love letter when I'm traveling. I'd tear it open and read that. I'd certainly read that before any bills or flyers that came. And so we need to take a little time each week to read God's love letter to us. And seven, prayer, our most powerful spiritual tool or weapon in our toolbox. Imagine God allows us, finite human beings, to move his hands through our prayers. In a former church, we had an elderly woman. Her name was Carrie Payne. And she couldn't get out much. As she got older, she couldn't even leave her apartment. But she was a prayer warrior. She prayed for her church. She prayed for the leadership of the church. And she prayed for each and every person in the church. We would go to visit her to encourage her. And guess what? When we got through visiting, she had encouraged us a lot more than we ever encouraged her, because she prayed for us. I believe to this day she did more good and accomplished more through her prayers than all the rest of us did through our busy running around. The apostles' theme is the essential character of the church, and the word church is used 6 times in the 5th chapter alone. Eric Hayden said the first 3 chapters of Ephesians describe the origin, character, and progress of the church. Many people think of the church as an organization, but it's really a living organism. The great apostle Peter said the church is made up of living stones. Our first point this morning is an intimate relationship. Christ's relationship to the church is to be compared to the marriage relationship between a husband and wife. They are to love, support, comfort, and encourage each other. Many years ago, there was a young naval officer traveling by ship with his wife. And as they traveled, a terrible storm came up, and everyone was afraid. No, they weren't afraid. They were terrified, including his wife. He did everything he could to calm her down, but nothing was working. Finally, he took a few steps back. He pulled out a sword, and he said to her, "Are you afraid of this sword?" And she shook her head and said, "Of course not." He said, "Why?" "Because it's in the hands of my husband, who loves me and will do anything he can to protect me." He said, in the same way, the winds and the waves are in God's hands, and he loves us, and he'll do whatever it takes to protect us. That young naval officer trusted the Lord, and after that, his wife began to calm down. Our second point is a vital union. A husband and wife can be separated from one another by business, caring for a sick relative in another city, or some other valid reason. But the marriage relationship should still stay strong. God's love and your love for each other should bind you together. Earlier in my career, I traveled a great deal for Gospel Light. It's a Sunday school publisher, and I traveled throughout the country at different times and did workshops and trainings and whatever else I needed to do. I remember one especially long trip. I was in California and in Colorado, and I was separated from my family for a period of time. But I remembered each day to pray for my family, and I continued to love them. And I wrote to them each day, and I called whenever I could. In the same way, I knew my family was loving me, and they were praying for me as I traveled. Love bound us together, and it still does. Our third point is a loving possession. Families really do belong to each other, both our families at home and our church family as well. And the church belongs to Christ. We are his family. We are his loving possession. Paul shares many themes of love and kindness in Ephesians, and this is what the church is all about. The Greek word agapeo, the verb form of love, is used 9 times in Ephesians, and Paul used the Greek word agape 10 times in Ephesians, and this is the noun for love. In fact, Paul used more than 1/6 of all his references to love in this small epistle. Why? Because love is so important. It's so important to any family or any church. Now let's turn together, shall we, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2, 16, and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. And if you look in front of you in the pew, you see a Bible there. That's on page 828, page 828. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And finally, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Jesus Christ made it possible for us to live a life that's exciting and pleasing to God, a life of love and of kindness. Philippians 2:15 tells us to shine as lights in the world. One of my favorite Christian books is entitled The Mark of a Christian by Dr. Francis Schaeffer. And in that book, it tells us what the mark of a true Christian is. That mark is love. And there's a Christian song that I enjoy, and one of the lines goes like this: they will know we are Christians by our love. Our love for God, for each other, and for everyone in the world. There's a story told of a young boy in a tenement district in New York City. And one day he was standing at the edge of the street, and he was holding up a broken piece of mirror and reflecting the sun's rays in a certain window. A man came along and grabbed him by the shoulder, and he said, "All right, what are you up to? Probably like most boys in this neighborhood, you're up to no good, right?" The boy looked him right in the eye, and he pointed up at a window. "See that window up there? That's where my handicapped brother is, and he can't come downstairs. The only sunlight he gets is what I can reflect up to him." At that, the man apologized for his gruffness, and he commended the young boy for what he was doing, sharing his light with his brother. You know, you don't have to be a preacher or a specially trained person to shine for Jesus. You can radiate his love to others by the thoughtful way that you talk, live, and love. I want to be a shining light that glistens clean and true. I want to reflect Jesus in everything I do. Jesus is the light of the world. Let's share his light through our love and kind deeds, and by sharing the message of his great love. The most important thing in the whole world is the message of God's great love. And you can accept this message of God's love today. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We can accept the message of God's great love by simply believing on Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to give us the free gift of eternal life. That's how much he loved us. All we have to do is ask Jesus to forgive our sins, come into our hearts, and make us members of his family. It's as simple as that. A couple of years ago, I was sharing in the pulpit right here at this church, and after the service, a friend of mine came up to me, and he shook my hand, and he simply said, "I prayed that prayer." He had asked Jesus to come into his heart. And I felt like singing and dancing. I don't sing that well. Don't dance that well either. But I was really excited. It really touched my heart. And my prayer is that there might be someone here today. If you're not sure, if you're not absolutely sure, today is your day of salvation. Pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins. Come into my heart and make me a member of your family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.